It's so important for us today to be reminded of our calling, of what God has called us to do, that serving others, serving one another, loving other people is not an event. It's not just an event that we do every once in a while as a church, and we'll do this again. But what we did last week was we practiced together what God has called us to do all the time. And what Jesus did all the time and what he taught us to do. And so I want to say thank you to everybody that pitched in last week and helped in so many ways. I think one of the things that we as the church, and I say we on purpose because I don't want it to ever feel like I'm saying we got something figured out and nobody else does or whatever like that. We as the church often have missed the opportunity that God has given us to make our community a better place in his name. You know, and I think that's such an amazing thing for just even the small changes and things that some of you did in places where maybe you didn't feel like you were serving a person necessarily. You were making a difference and you were doing it in the name of Christ. And if nothing else, there are people out there that know that there is a body of believers that loves them and loves Jesus. And so that's to me, that's the deal. And I'm so excited about it. I've had some pastor friends talk to me this week and they've seen some of the stuff hitting the web and they've been asking questions and stuff. And they're like, how in the world did you guys, you know, pull this thing off? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't have anything to do with it hardly. I was like, I just pitched stuff. You know, I said, we just felt like God led us to do this and we went for it. So, thank you to everybody that got stuff donated and worked hard and everything. It was awesome. It was very encouraging for all of us. So today, in light of that, we're actually talking about serving one another. And we talked about 2 weeks ago, we've been in this little series that we started on one another's. In Scripture, if you go through Scripture, there's all these one another's. And to be honest with you, if in just studying that, that's probably one of the most challenging things that we could do. And I've talked, in fact, I had a conversation with someone recently about, you know, if we could actually just pull off doing the one another's that we see in Scripture, I mean, we would be a completely different people. I mean, we would be the aliens that Scripture teaches us that we would look like in a culture because we'd be so very different, you know? And so this morning, we're continuing that, and we talked about serving one another a couple of weeks ago, and then I talked about just a little bit as we went out last week. But this week, we're talking about it in some different ways. We're talking about some tangible things that we can do to serve one another, biblical one another's. Okay, so we're going to talk about three one another's this morning and do it under the umbrella of serving one another, which comes under the umbrella, as we talked about a few weeks ago, of loving one another. And so it's important. You may be in a place right now in life where you're like, I don't love anybody. I'll just be honest with you. I just don't love nobody. I'm not there. You know, I'm not happy. I don't have any joy or whatever. I want you to know that I've been praying for you that what we're going to talk about today, that God would speak to your heart. And that God would challenge all of us through this. If you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have one, we've got ushers with Bibles, and they will bring you a Bible. Just throw your hand up and just hold it up, and whether you left it somewhere or you don't own one, if you don't own one, we're going to give you that one. It's a gift. You can take it. But we want to give you a Bible, and you can use it. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 as our first passage this morning. We're going to look at three passages. I'm going to try to teach through them fairly quickly so that we can cover all this, because I think this is really good stuff, and it's very encouraging us this morning. I hope that it is to you. And it has been to me already. But this morning we're talking about serving one another in legitimate ways that we can tangibly grab a hold of and go, you know, I can do that. And so, again, straight from God's word, it's his scripture. It's not mine. And I feel like these are things that God has led us to this morning for us to share together in. 1 Peter 4 starts with this little passage from Peter, and God used him to pen it, obviously. And it says this in verse 4. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. And there it is, love one another, which is the umbrella of what we're teaching under right now. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Since love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, I could preach a message probably just on that verse, and I can't really get so far deep into that this morning. But, I mean, that just speaks so so powerfully of what happens when we really love one another. I want you to think about, as we're talking through these things this morning, I want to challenge you to think about like real life situations that you're in all the time. I want to kind of put this out there. And I want to kind of set the stage for us to be thinking about the world that we live in, the places that we go, we shop, that we eat, that we live, that we play, whatever it is, that the world right now currently is full of people that think nobody cares. I want you to think about that for a second. The world is full of people that think that no one cares about them. And you know I'm right, because you've been there. Every one of us have had moments in our life where we go, you know, I just don't think they care. I don't think they give a rip about me. And we know that there's a lot of people, and you may be there right now. You may be in a spot right now where you're going, I'm not sure anybody does care about me right now. I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. And Satan loves that lie. And he loves for us to believe it. And the truth is that's not true. And we have the ability through loving others as Christ has loved us, that if we'll allow him to work through us, okay, if we'll allow his love to come through us and love others, the power of his love will change people's lives, okay? And so we talked about that last few weeks, but for us to kind of understand that we're called to love one another, we have the chance to be a part of God disarming people in this world that feel like nobody cares. I mean, I don't know like what better like gift we could give people, or what better thing that we could do for people than to be able to disarm the thing of like nobody cares, to be able to like completely blow that thing up. I mean, that's an amazing, amazing thing for us to be able to do. So above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And in verse 9, it goes on. It's starting to talk about how we can do this, okay? Verse 9, so Peter's not just like, you know, go do this. He's like, no. Here's how we're going to do this. And in verse 9, it says this. It says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, some of you are really good at this. Some of you are like, man, I think about people like Wendy Knuckles. How can you not think about Wendy Knuckles when you think about hospitality? But it's like people that are just willing to share themselves, serve others, open their homes, bring, you know, cook food. I mean, I think about all of those things, and all those things are tangible things that we can do. But showing hospitality, especially in the sense of things like us sharing ourselves and sharing our homes, those are great tangible things that we can do. You may go, well, I don't have a home. Well, that's okay. That's fine. You know, there's other ways that we can show hospitality to one another. I mean, you think about, like, you go to the store, and you ever been to the store, like, you go to Wally World, and, like, you're about to check out, and you see the family that's coming, and they got, like, 10 kids. This is my sister-in-law. They actually have 10 kids. And so, you know, like, they go to the store, and, like, you know, they're, like, you know, like, each kid is, like, pulling and pushing a shopping cart, you know, and they're, like, getting up to the checkout line. And what do you do when you see that happening at the store, and you're about to, like, you're walking up, and you're looking for a checkout, you're like, oh, I'm going to get in that lane before they do, you know, I'm going to stay here all day, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and it's so funny to me, like even, you know, not even situations quite that extreme or whatever, but like when you let somebody in front of you at line, in a line or something, it completely like throws them for a loop. They're like, what? Huh? What? Are you sure? And they're like, is something wrong with you? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, but I mean, that's the world we live in, you know? And so for us to show hospitality to other people, it speaks beyond things that we even understand sometimes. I mean, you think about this. Think about like if you've had a bad day or if you've had a bad week and somebody does the simplest, smallest thing for you that shows that you care. What does that do for you? Makes you feel good. I mean, it just changed. God uses that in our lives. And so for us to show hospitality to one another, and then I love this. Peter's like, of course, Peter's hardcore. If you've ever studied Peter, you got to love Peter. But like, he's not just like show hospitality to one another. He's like, do it without grumbling. Right? You see it? Without grumbling. He throws that in there. And that's on purpose. And I think it's this reminder for us that we can do this and enjoy it. Like we... Did you know that you can actually love your life? It's okay to have some fun and enjoy life. Did you know that? Everybody raise your hands up like this. Come on, everybody. I'm not trying to get you in the spirit or something, okay? I'm just the Baptist people. The old stuff, I don't know about it. Raise them up high. Come on. Everybody raise them up high. Come on. And now I want you to just shake them. Come on, just shake them, all right? Are you having fun yet? Come on. Yeah? All right. Good, good. Now you put. I mean, you can stay doing it if you want to. I don't care. You know, maybe we may think you getting crazy on us, whatever. But I mean, here's the deal. Like, we can enjoy this life. We are not supposed to go through life like a big grump. You know. And some of you go, well, that's just who I am. I'm just a big grump. Well, get over yourself, okay? You don't have to be that way. You're choosing it. No, it's just the way. No, it's not the way you just are. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to be big grumps. Okay? He's called us to enjoy this life, to have freedom in Christ, to have freedom in sin, that we might actually enjoy the ride. Okay? Now, I know that there's suffering. There's pain, and there's parts of that. And I'll be honest with you. I've this was a blessing for me. I did a funeral yesterday for Miss Cindy Auer, and she passed away recently because of cancer. But the best part about getting to do Miss Cindy's funeral was the fact that I got to talk from family stories and all this kind of stuff about all of the moments through the suffering that she found joy in Christ. She constantly pointed everybody around her to Jesus and who he was and her trust in him. And so even beyond her life, she's bringing glory to who God is and what he's done. So on our bad day of, you know, well, I stumped my toes starting out the day and, you know, well, the bank account's not looking as good as I thought it should be and all this other kind of stuff that we get in all in our heads about, the truth is this, our joy is in our salvation. And if we'll put stock in that, it won't matter if we're suffering or not. I'm not saying that it won't be, that we won't have moments where, you know, it's tough and all. We're going to have them. It's part of it. We're called to it. It's not always a Cinderella story. But the truth is that our joy is not found in those things. It's found in Christ. So when we show hospitality, we can do that to one another without grumbling. Enjoy the ride. Verse 10, it says this. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I'm going to keep going. We'll come back to this. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves and whoever serves by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 10 brings about something I think that's really important for us. We'll go back to it. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And check this out. As good stewards of God's very grace. So what this is talking about, what Peter's getting at here is he's saying, look, you know, God's given you gifts. Don't hoard them. Don't pack them up and put them away. You know, I look around in our church body. I see people that can do stuff that I'll be honest with you, I'm jealous of sometimes. I'm like, I wish I could build stuff like that. You know, I wish that I could do this. I wish, you know, like I play guitar, used to, you know, run around doing that, you know, at times in my life or whatever. But I can't play like he plays. I mean, he's amazing at playing guitar. He was a guitar major in college, by the way, in case you didn't know. I mean, like, my, you know, fun for us and, you know, sometimes during the week, like we got a lull moment or whatever, is like, hey, I think you should learn the guitar solo to whatever. And he'll be like, challenge accepted, you know. And then next thing you know, he's sitting there and we're, you know, he's watching YouTube videos. And about 20 minutes later, he's playing solo. And I'm like, I hate you. I don't really hate you, but you know. And so, you know, that's a gift, and God has given us different gifts, and he's given every one of us gifts. And the truth is that he's given us those gifts that we would use them. Why? To serve one another. How do we know? Because verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. And then in verse 11, it goes on. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, speaking things about God, speaking God's word. For whoever speaks God's word, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. I'll read it one more time. As one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Why? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. You see, God's given us, He's given us an understanding of how we can approach serving. And the truth is we talked a couple weeks ago about this, and I think it definitely has to be made mention of. You know, when we serve, a lot of times what we do is, without meaning to, a lot of times it's not what we intended on doing, but we'll serve somebody, and while we're serving them, we kind of get in our head, well, you need me right now. So, and it, we kind of get a little bit of a complex of like, you need me, I'm kind of better than you right now. I'm kind of up here, you're kind of down there, and you need me kind of thing. And so then it becomes like, well, you know, if I'm going to serve them, they better be grateful. They better blah, blah, blah. You know, and let's be honest, that's us. That's what we do a lot of times. Well, if I'm going to do this for them, then they better, and we make a list in our heads, even if we're not saying it out loud, you know. And the truth is that Jesus never did that. Jesus didn't go to the cross going, well, they better appreciate me for doing this, you know. God shows us that our hearts have to be in the right place. And He says, no matter if you're speaking my word, no matter if you're speaking things about me, no matter if you're serving someone, it is by me that you're going to do this, so that in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You say, Chris, how do you know that He's saying it that way? Just look at it. What's it say? I mean, basically, we've got God saying, you're gonna serve with my words, the oracles deal, okay? You're going to serve with my words, and then what else? And one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So we're serving with God's words, and we're serving with His strength. And that's really hard for us, because some of us were like, oh, I've got plenty of strength, I can take care of this, I got this, you know. I'll just do this, you know. But the truth is that God wants us to trust in Him and rely on Him in how we serve one another. And that's not just in our head. That's not just a heart issue. I think that is literally physically at times. Because let's face it, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm going a million miles an hour these days. And life is crazy, and it's busy, and it's hard to, you know exactly what to take on and what to say no to sometimes and that kind of stuff. And in the midst of all that, there's going to be moments that God presents an opportunity for us to love somebody and serve somebody. And it's going to be tempting for us to go, you know what, I'm too tired for that. I can't do it. And I think that just as much as it means our heart, I think that it means that literally by His strength, at times God will call us to do things that by our strength we will not be able to do. In fact, God calls us at times to do things that we could not possibly do. This church, this, you know, and I'm not talking about building, I'm talking about the body, I'm talking about the last, you know, 9.5 years or whatever. I mean, this is proof to me. God can't do that through one person or even a small group of people. That is His work. He is at work. He is doing supernatural things all the time. And He's saying, hey, come over here. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it with me. Let me use you to be parts of it. If you go back to the whole hospitality thing here, and obviously the whole thing is kind of baked in this understanding that everything is for the glory of God, and especially in Christ. But if you go back to the hospitality thing here, if you go back to the time that this was written, the hospitality deal was a big deal. like offering hospitality to people was a big deal. And based upon just the understanding of like inns, if you were going to go stay at an inn, okay, to us, that's like hotel, motel, okay? Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. All right. An inn back then was a dangerous place. Okay, not somewhere you just want to like go, you know, like, well, we're going to stop here. I mean, it was like you're going into each one of these places like wondering, am I going to get robbed? Well, you know, what will happen? Could we get hurt or anything? And so, you know, they were unpleasant and dangerous places. So to open your home was not just opening your home to like, you know, feed somebody a Pop-Tart and give them someplace to sleep. You were actually offering shelter and safety if you were willing to do that. Now, you know, think about it that way. I know a baby came in. Everybody's like, oh, a baby came in. All right. I want you to think about it. It's a really important point. A really important point. God is saying we need to be about offering shelter and safety for people. Does that make sense? And so in these crazy moments that happen in our lives and situations come up and we're like, I don't know what to do about this or that, you know, and somebody brings something, God puts something in front of us. We're like, man, that's a crazy deal. We need to get involved. We need to quit being, you know, I'm so busy. I don't know if I've got time. We've got to quit that. God's given us opportunities. And sometimes it may literally be hospitality. Let me show you how much this is a hard issue, because you and I both know that we're like, oh yeah, everything's cool until like, you know, like we got to like give up something, and including space in our house. Okay. All right. How much of a hard issue is this, and excuse me for bragging on my little girls, but I'm going to brag on my little girls and I love them very much. But my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old recently overheard me and my wife talking about a situation with a family. I don't remember exactly who the family was, but they didn't hear names or anything because we weren't talking about that in front of them. But they overheard us talking about a family who was possibly going to lose a place to live. Like they weren't going to have any place to live. And this was a family with kids and stuff. Both of these two little girls immediately, I mean, without skipping a beat, I mean, without thinking about it, without anything, immediately run up to Aaron and say, Mama, Mama, Mama. And Aaron's like, what, what? And they're like, they can come live with us. See, that's like a pure heart deal. And don't get me wrong, they're little sinners, all right? They're cute. They can be devil princesses, okay? Just be careful. They will get you. But their heart was so, they love people so much. In that moment, it only made sense to them. Well, we have some places that people could sleep in our house. They could come and live here. And it wasn't, they didn't say they could come stay here for a while. They said they could come and live with us. And they actually said the words, one of them, I can't remember which one, that one of them said the words, they could be a part of our family. God is calling us to that. Right? That's sacrifice, isn't it? That's sacrificial love. Huh. I think Jesus did a little sacrificial love, didn't he? Next passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just hear the pages turning. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm having to read through a passage to get to the one another in the passage, okay? And the reason being, and I'll try to explain it best I can, but sometimes when you're reading a passage of Scripture, you see words like for and therefore, and really what they're doing is they're pointing to the thing that was before them. So to have a complete understanding of what's going on, you kind of have to. And so I had to dig backwards on this one. And as I was digging backwards, I kept having to dig and dig and dig and dig. And finally, I had to like cut it off. And I'll show you where we cut it off here. But for me to get to the one another, I had to. I wanted to teach through, just read through at least the verses before it. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 says this. It says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. And that is referring back to, and this is where I cut it off, that is referring back to verse 2, where it's talking about when Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And by the way, if anybody ever tells you that Jesus is going to come on this date at this time, you can go ahead and biblically tell them you are crazy. Okay? Because we have a verse that says, no one will know he will come like a thief in the night. So if they ever tell you that, and you've got a prediction out there or whatever, guess what? They're wrong. Okay? Because Scripture teaches us that they'll be wrong. All right. So verse 5, it says this. It says, it goes on. It says, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Okay, so we've got this whole children of light deal. And then some of you are like, oh, he's going to talk about drunkenness. Here we go. We're going to talk about drinking. Just chill out. We're going to talk about it, okay? The children of light deal is really important here. This is our calling. This is what we, I hope, did last week, is that we went out into the world, and hopefully what we do every day, what we're supposed to be doing every day of our lives, is that we go out and we are supposed to be light in the darkness. What Paul is talking about here, and he talks about drunkenness and stuff like that other places more specifically, but this is a frame of mind thing that he's talking about right here. And so our understanding, and it actually explains why drunkenness would be wrong, but the understanding that if we are called to be children of light, then that means that our demeanor in life has to be one of being sober, so that we can follow Christ in what he's calling us to do. Okay? Kind of picking up on that. So we've got the children of light day. We're called to be, for you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. And so God has called us, and we know this from other scripture, from Christ's teaching, that we are called to be light in the world. Jesus came that he would be the light. Okay? And now we are able to carry that light. And that's a lot of, obviously, what we did last weekend. It goes on in verse 8. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober. And I think that's, again, that's what he's really trying to get at, is that our heads would be screwed on straight, that we would be in the right frame of mind, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And then here's one of the words I was talking about. Verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got, let's talk about that for just a second. For God is not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the for is pointing backward to what has happened before, which is this talking about this being sober-minded and being children of light. You know, children of Jesus makes complete sense, that we would be light also. And so as we go out and are light, it's an encouragement thing. This whole passage is an encouragement piece. And he's saying, hey, be encouraged in your calling to be children of light, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, says, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So we've got this promise that if we've trusted in Christ, that if we know him, that if we have obtained salvation in him, that we can be assured that he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So we've got this promise of living with Christ. And then in verse 11, it says, therefore, which is another one of those words that's pointing backwards to something else that it's already talked about. So therefore, and this gets to our one another, encourage one another. How many of you like to be encouraged? And the rest of you are liars. Or lazy, and you're just like, it's daylight savings time day. Give me a break, all right? I'm just like, my arm is so tired right now. We've already raised him once. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Encourage one another. Build one another up. But what about the therefore? Well, the therefore is pointing back to, if you look at verse 9, for God has destined us for, has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's this understanding that because of what God has done, and I think that you can include everything that he has said up until this point in the passage, honestly, as part of the therefore. So it includes, you know, hey, we're called to be children of light. We're called to live sober lives. We're called to live with putting on this breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. And he's saying, and in all of that, we can encourage each other. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're going, man, I'm in this situation, I don't even know what to tell these people. They're going through stuff, or telling this person, he's going through some stuff right now, and I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. You know what? You can encourage them. You go, well, how? You can encourage them in what Christ has done. You can encourage them in the hope that comes from our salvation. You say, Chris, I don't even know where to go with that. Well, let me just give you a basic. Let me just give you a basic, because this is going to allow you to serve somebody at some point in time. Somebody's going through something. If they know Christ, no matter how bad the suffering is, it is a comforting reminder for me when I remember that Christ also suffered for my name. He suffered for my salvation. But not only that, but that he offers us faith in him and love, as it talks about at the end of verse 8, but that it also offers hope of salvation. You see, again, our joy isn't based on things here. Our joy is in our salvation. Our joy can always go back, no matter how bad the situation, our joy can always go back to remembering who Christ is and what he's done. And that's amazing. And we need that. We need that at times, because we're hurting sometimes. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we need to be encouraged. But you know what? There's a lot of people around us that need to be encouraged. Remember what I said at the very beginning? We live in a world full of people who think nobody cares. Say it again. We live in a world full of people who think no one cares. And that's a lie. And God has sent us to be children of light and to care. What's he say? Love one another. Love one another. So then in verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So see, it's a whole lot more. It's a whole lot more than a attaboy. Good job. Way to get them. You're doing good. You know, it's more than just that. We're getting to be a part of the process of other people being encouraged in who Christ is and what he's done and the joy that comes in the salvation that we have in him. That's an amazing thing. James chapter 5. I just winked at Penny. It was really awkward, wasn't it? It was awesome. Were you in here when I cried in the first service? No. You weren't in here? Yeah, I know you were. Oh, it was awesome. And Nathan was making fun of me in the booth like we usually do you. So, and I actually said something about it. Like, yeah, that's what we usually do to Penny. I'm sorry. We're having a little conversation here. You're going to James 5, so it doesn't matter. this might be one of the most simple things that we could possibly do for one another, to serve one another. And I think that you'll find, as we talk about it for just a couple of minutes here before we get out of here today, that I think that it will challenge you. It challenges me. I'm trying to be good at this right now in my life. I'm not always good at it. I'm trying, though. James chapter 5, verse 13 says this. It says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil, with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working." So did you see it? We had two one another's right there. All right. One of them is going to make you squirm, and it's the confess your sins to one another. The second one is pray for one another. We've read through this verse before. We believe this verse wholeheartedly. I think sometimes we look at this verse and we say, well, I've seen situations where that hasn't exactly happened. You know, I've seen people be prayed for and they not be healed. Well, I think in our minds and in our hearts sometimes, I think we've got to understand, yes, sometimes God may physically heal somebody, and we've seen that, and that's an amazing thing. We've got people in here that can attest to that. But then we've also have situations of people, family members that are in here right now that could say, well, you know, God didn't heal, you know, this person that I loved very much. The truth is that in the situations that I know of, I think he did heal them in their heart. I think that they completely knew him and trusted in him, and that's a whole nother kind of healing. And why God chooses to do one over doing the other, I don't know. I can't understand that sometimes, and I don't know the answers to that, but he does. And obviously, God uses all those things for his glory, and we've seen that. I've seen that in just the last several weeks within a couple of families within our church. And as much as I hate to lose people, and I know that they do too, even going through that, God has been glorified. Jesus has been made much of because of that happening. And he's got a plan, and we trust in that. But it shows us in verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Have you ever been somewhere where you didn't know somebody, and in the midst of talking with them, you say, "Can I pray for you?" It is the most disarming thing that you can do to somebody in a moment. Try it on somebody. I guarantee you, you won't be sorry that you did. You won't be sorry. There have been a lot of times I have missed opportunities and later on regretted not asking someone if I could pray for them, like as we've gotten in the car from eating lunch or something with my family, and as we go down there, we start talking about the waitress or the waiter that waited on us that day or whatever, and I just realized, you know, we should have asked to pray with them. Should have just asked to have done that. There have been other times that we have and had some amazing opportunities to minister to people, because all of a sudden, again, remember where we were at the beginning, remember what I said? That we are in a world full of people who think that nobody cares. And so when you have an opportunity, when someone else is serving you, even if it's they're getting a paycheck for doing it, if they're waiting on you, if they're trying to sell you a car or whatever, I mean, right in the middle of that, if you ask them, "Can I pray for you?" It completely, I've seen some people just get messed up over it, you know, like try that on a car salesman sometime. I mean, they're not going anywhere. You've got their ear. They're going to listen to you. So you've got a captive audience. It may even work out for you in the end. Okay. Not that you should do it for that reason. All right. Don't try to utilize that. Okay. That way. But if you care and if you've got the opportunity, I mean, it's an amazing thing to get to be a part of when those moments happen and God places people in front of us and we have the opportunity to serve someone by praying for them. And I don't think that we think about it that way. But again, remember, we live in a world full of people who don't think anybody care. So in the moment when, even if they're not a Christian, even if they're not a believer, if you're offering to pray for them, what you're saying to them is, I care about you right now. I mean, how else are you going to care for them? Oh yeah, you could drop a $100 bill. Can everybody afford to do that? Probably not. Can you afford to pray for somebody? Absolutely. And you see, what we're doing when we offer to serve someone by praying for them is that if we really are believers, if we really are Christians, if we have trusted Jesus to be our Savior, here's what happens. We're saying to them, I might not be able to help you with whatever you've got going on right now in your life, but I know the guy that can. I mean, every one of us, love for us to recommend us to something for something else. You know, like if you're looking for a job, and I know a guy that he's in that kind of business, and you're looking for a job in that business, I mean, you're going to be grateful if I'm able to say, hey, I know this gal, they're really good, you should hire them for a job in what you do. You're going to be extremely grateful. What we're saying to them is we're saying, my King, my Savior, the Creator of the world, who is sovereign over all things, I would like a chance to just get to speak on your behalf to Him, if that's okay. Is there anything that I can ask Him about for you? Is there anything that I can ask for you? Because I care. Because I love you. And suddenly, you have completely disarmed wherever they are at that moment in their life, and you have shown them that you really do care. Nathan said this as we were talking about this week. Thought this was really good. He said, you know, to love someone the most is to pray for them. Think about that for just a second. I'm not even talking about like you're just going out looking for people to pray for. And I'm talking about just everybody in general. I mean, if we really love, really, really love one another, I mean, we would pray for them, wouldn't we? I mean, like if we really believe that God has power over all things, and I love you, I should be praying for you. I should be praying that God would protect you, provide for you, carry you through a moment of suffering or whatever it is. To love someone the most is to pray for them. What we can do for someone is very different than what God can do for someone. And we're saying, I believe that God can do anything He wants to for you. And I'm going to ask Him if you'll let me. Can I do that? As we talked last week just briefly out of another passage, you know, we're encouraged to be careful in how we do this. That we're not doing it to be seen. We're not doing this for show. You know, Scripture even teaches that, you know, we may go in the closet kind of thing to pray. Kind of thing, that basically we go behind closed doors. It's not about us being seen or heard, and that passage uses and says, as the hypocrites do, and we don't want to fall into that. So we've got to be careful with that. But I think for us to just remember how important it is for us to serve one another by praying for one another is such a huge, huge piece. So, you know, be intentional. Think about this. Think about the opportunities that God gives you. Think about hanging out on the bleachers at a ball field. Think about just starting conversations with people that normally you wouldn't talk to. Why? Why not? You're there. You're breathing. You're sucking wind. So make the use of, you know, make some kind of use of the moment. God has put you there for a purpose. There's always a purpose. I've had to constantly remind myself, I feel like, over the last several weeks, that, like, there's always this reasoning, you know, of you know, why is God, you know, I had to take a road trip on Friday, and I hate going on long trips by myself. I'd rather, like, 10 people be with me. It's the extrovert thing, I guess, or whatever. And, like, I just want to, like, let's just go have a party. We'll just have a party all the way there, party all the way back, you know, whole thing. And I got in the car, and I'm heading out of town, and I'm like, golly, this is going to stink, you know, having to do this by myself. And then it's like as soon as I started thinking that, I was just like, okay, God, what is it? What are you wanting to do between here and there? you know. And I ended up on the phone with some people. And the last person I ended up on the phone with, I was so encouraged by the gospel and getting to talk with this person. And this was like a side business thing. This didn't have anything to do with church work or anything like that. And it was just, and it was awesome. And I was so encouraged. And when I got off the phone, I immediately had the thought, if somebody had ridden with me, I would not have made that phone call. I would not have been on the phone driving down the road. I would have missed that opportunity. There's always a reason. Here's the catch. We have to be careful not to get all legalistic about this stuff. If we're not careful, we're just gonna make checklists, and we talk about this all the time. I know. But if we're not careful, we make it about this kind of stuff, and we're not supposed to make it about this stuff. This isn't about, catch this, okay? Because this is big and it's important when it comes to serving others. This isn't about us trying to earn God's favor. Jesus already did that for us, okay? We don't need to earn God's favor at this point. This is about us getting to be used by Him for the kingdom of God. And it's so important that Jesus spent His whole ministry talking about it. So it's like this key linchpin to our lives as believers, that if we're going to live as believers, this is how we live as believers, that we love one another, that we serve one another, that we sacrifice, yeah? Our belongings, our possessions. You go, oh, Chris, I don't want people in my house. I understand. Sometimes I actually don't want people in my house. You know, sometimes every Sunday night we have people come over, community group or whatever, and the deal is, you know, sometimes they just, it's wrecked. You know, it's just part of it. I found a tool the other day, took apart in like a million pieces in my basement. But my basement's like a minefield for kids to tear stuff up. So I just need to expect that. And that's just sacrifice. Chalk it up to what it is. Chalk it up to what it is. But at the same time, as Peter said, let's do it without grumbling. Let's enjoy this. Let's have fun serving others. Let's enjoy what God has called us to do and find our joy and our salvation. Because here's the deal with the gospel. We're not gaining God's favor. Christ has already done it. God doesn't need us to serve Him. But what did Scripture teach us a few weeks ago? That His love is perfected in us when we submit ourselves to Him and to others by loving them like He's loved us. When we love one another, His love is perfected in us. Give me anything else in Scripture that talks about something of God being perfected in us other than that. Tell me that's not important. Tell me that's not a huge piece of our calling and our mission. It is our calling and our mission that we would be Jesus to others. And here's the deal. It's so simple. It's so simple. You know how I know? Because last week, teams of 20-something people or whatever, a whole bunch of them left here, and we went and found things that we could do for other people. We served them. And people got to use their gifts. And you guys and I, we have gifts that we can use to serve other people. And we don't have to have a Serve Sunday to do it. We practiced what God has called us to do on a daily basis last week. We'll do it again. We'll do it together again. But I want to encourage you. Don't wait till we do it together again. Offer hospitality. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Let God use you in people's lives. This is how we serve one another. And if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, I just want to encourage you. God served us by sending His Son to die on the cross, that we might know Him, but that we would be free from sin, that we could enjoy this life, that we could live it to the fullest. And I'm telling you, it can be full of joy if we'll let it. Let's pray together.